Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry, I just went online there and didn't rise, but there's sweetie rustling going on here, and sweeties being passed around the church, and I'm not getting offered any. If you're online this morning, you're very welcome as well. Thank you for joining us, and that you're as much a part of our family as the people here in the room with us. And it's great to have people week after week join us from all over the show, like all over the place, you know, as far as you can think. Carrick Fergus, Lauren, and way beyond that. But it's great to see you. All good? Are we good this morning? Oh, well, I just all right. Listen, if you're online this morning, send us some love, because the people in here in the room are actually, I think they're half asleep. And so it's that lovely song, which is the mention of your name. When you get, isn't that lovely? And you go, oh, come on. Just let me lie underneath that. And it's brilliant, isn't it? Well, I enjoyed it anyway. You know, see, when you get saved, you lot, you'll absolutely understand. You know, worship's totally different when you're saved. That's all I'm going to say, and you'll probably enjoy it more. Get your Bibles ready, too, because I'm going to be talking today. It's interesting. I'm going to cut to the end of the story today and let you know that everything's going to be all right. How's that? All right? Everything's going to be all right. The victory that, you know, I love it, because I never know what worship songs we're singing, because I'm not a control freak pastor. You know the ones who go, oh, sing this one and sing that one. I don't do that. I just let these guys loosen and go, what songs do you feel like you want to sing this week, and what ones are going to bless you, the church? And I love it when actually I'm listening and I'm going, that's kind of on point. You know, I'm going to actually talk about some of that. Isn't that, that's helpful, isn't it? Because you kind of think, oh, Jesus, I might have actually heard you this week in the middle of it all. You know what I mean? There might actually be something of the Lord in the middle of it. Because we sang about, we're going to see a victory. We sang about just the mention of your name and all that kind of stuff. And you know, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. I'm no longer a slave to fear. And all of that stuff I'm going to talk about roundaboutly in a way, because I want to talk to you this morning about how one of the roots of fear in our lives is because we're disappointed with God. But grace is the only way to actually take our disappointment and to face our disappointment in grace. And one of the roots of fear is this little belief that sometimes sits in our heads and in our hearts, that I am afraid. If we're honest about how do I face my future with confidence, because we're talking about how do I dare to believe, I really want to believe God. In these days, does anyone else want to just believe God and go, you know, in the middle of all the craziness, I need that safe place. I need that strong foundation in my life that I can go to, stand in, sit under, in the middle of it all going just a wee bit bonkers, isn't that right? And you go, but here I'm safe, here I find myself centered. Here I find myself with meaning and with purpose. Here I find myself actually understanding what the whole thing's about. Here I find myself with hope. Anyone? And that person is Jesus and his finished work. That's the place that we go to. And you know, so I want to talk about that, because I want to dare to believe. I don't want to get up tomorrow morning facing another week. Like do you know the way I always say, like a wet Monday or wet Tuesday in November? No, that's my wee go-to expression. I only realized this week it is November. You know what I mean? And I'm getting up and facing the darker nights are coming, brother, and all that stuff. And then you're thinking about getting into a new year, and like there we go again. The cycle continues, and we get into January, February, and like, oh my goodness, and we'll have that wee bit of hope, won't we, at Christmas when it's all, yoo-hoo, Christmas for all you crazy people. And let's just get Christmas out of the way and get it done with. That's all I'm saying. And then we'll get into the new year. I love the first week of January, the cold, dark nights of January, where you think it's tough now, but the bright nights are coming. That just brings me joy, right? And but there's this thing of cycles, this thing of just cycle, cycle, cycle. And I felt like in today's talk, I want to talk to you about that. There's a cycle in our lives that needs to be broken, and it's only under grace that it's going to happen. And that's deal with your disappointment, particularly if it's towards God. Because when we live with disappointment in our lives, it robs us of hope for the future, and it robs us of our ability to believe for God for the future. And disappointment with God is something that we don't often talk about, because particularly, you know, it's like if you've had any kind of faith bit in your journey, you know, remember those good old days where you go, flip me, I could murder a burger. Don't say murder. Remember all that? Remember the faith people? If it literally came out of your mouth, it was going to happen. So you're like, oh, flip me. Remember that? I'm dying with a cold. Oh, don't say that, for you'll be dead and buried next week. You know what I mean? Oh, something about a burger and chucking holy water over you or something like that. I can't remember. Remember that? Where you couldn't actually say. And then, because I had people like that in my life, not so long ago, actually. And you'd be going, you'd say what you say. And then they wouldn't even like maybe jump down your throat, but just go, was that what the Lord really thinks? And you're like, oh, bog off and give me a... I'm sure the Lord's big enough to understand what I mean. Do you know what I mean? Anyone? All right, so we kind of go a little bit faith crazy. A little bit like, the Lord's going to kill me, smite me because of what comes out of my mouth. No, he's not. All right? But the point of it is, there is something in this story which is about great victory, about daring to believe. And I've been trying to encourage you from Gideon. I'm going to cut to the end of the story today and just show you how there was something about dealing with his disappointment that was a precursor to seeing great victory. And so it's okay if you're disappointed. Don't hide it. It's okay if sometimes you go, I'm not sure. My fear for the future around health or provision or around seeing God break into like my loved ones' lives, changing my family situation, changing my financial situation, whatever it happens to be, will I see healing and wholeness? There can be a million things that affect us all. But I really felt this week, actually part of that root, okay, that we get to, and this is why I love the grace of Jesus, is that his grace will heal you of disappointment even towards him. Right? And that is one of the ways that you remove fear for your future. Because whilst we sit with that in our lives, it's very, let's be honest, we can do it from the teeth out, can't we, really well? Thank you, brother. I'm no longer a slave. Amen. Play that again. Well, every hand or lifter upper, as I call it, in worship. And then we walk out of there, and it's Mike Tyson has a great quote. Mike Tyson, you know, the boxer. You didn't think you were going to hear this morning, did you? He had a great quote about people who would plan to fight him, and he says, everyone's got a plan until I smack them in the mouth, right? Which I just think is, that's wisdom for the age, isn't it? Everyone's got a plan until I smack them in the mouth, and then you go, oh, all right, okay. And life's like that, isn't it? We've all got a great plan until you get a smack in the gob. And you go, here, I wasn't expecting that. I'm slightly disappointed that I got a smack in the gob. Right? Shall we talk about that this morning, see where the word goes? One of the things I really hate when I'm watching a program is thinking that one of your favorite characters is going to get killed off. Do you hate that? See, Downton Abbey was like a roller coaster for me. Because if you haven't watched it, there's one of the nice characters, and he's done for in like season three. And I was like, no, this was not part of the plan. Right? You know what I would do? I would skip to the end. I didn't tell Penny. I'm telling her now. But I would skip to the end of like season four just to see who was in it. You can do that on Netflix. It's brilliant. Go, all right, just relax. You can enjoy this season because they're not going to be like, you know, done for at some point. You know what I mean? So I got managed to get through to season six and know that, you know, all my favorite, Lord Grantham would still be there, my hero, right? And but you know what I mean? Don't you hate that? You kind of go, so just get me to the end, because if I know the end's okay, then everything else I can live with. Anyone? Okay, at the end of the story of Gideon is he sees a massive victory. And he sees this unbelievable victory when the Midianites, these locusts who were terrorizing the people of Israel in these cycles of years, just coming and stripping them bare and causing them to live in fear. Gideon sees the victory with only 300 people. He gathers thousands of men, and the Lord just keeps sifting them through. And at the end of the story is great victory. And so if you're this morning wondering, am I going to see a great victory? That actually the truth of the word of God is for you is, yes, you will. All right? So whatever it is you're afraid about today, whatever it is that you've harbored disappointment, let me tell you something. If it can happen for Gideon in the word, and these things are written so that we can believe today, that's what it says in John, right? That the word is written so that we can have faith for what we're facing today. Gideon was a basket case who continually went in a cycle of, I'm not sure I can trust you, God. What are you going to do? And God just like simply just step by step by step leads him through this process of showing him what it's like to live under grace, because the victory that is delivered to him is far beyond anything that he could have done himself, right? So I want to tell you, I'm going to skip to that point, because the question is, how do you go from basket case hiding down to standing there facing unsurmountable odds, okay? And if you know the story, Gideon doesn't have to lift a hand. He lifts a trumpet. I'm going to talk about that. And two things that happen. Number one, he's clothed. It says the Lord clothes him, and then he lifts a trumpet in Judges 6, and then he sees victory. And so in there, that's what we're going to talk about today, all right? So, but just settle yourself to go, Lord, in this area of my life, whatever it is for you, finance, health, future, job, relationship, whatever it is, let me speak over you today. You are going to see your victory. And do not let the enemy tell you anything to the contrary. Whatever your experience has been up until now, whatever valleys you've had to walk through, whatever thing, disappointment, whatever smacks in the mouth you've had, can I just say that right now, I honestly believe when the word comes to you, if you're open, you're going to receive a word that's going to lead you into that place that you have longed for. Amen? Is that good? Brilliant. So one of the things is when we live with years of defeat, let me go quickly, defeat robs us of the courage to believe. That's the point. And I want to encourage you today when we get to the word that clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is my next series before we get to the big one in the new year, just going to chuck that out. Don't let these things that have hurt you and defeated you rob you of your tomorrow, because that is the work of the devil himself. And the point today is it's universal. There's not anyone, I don't care what your position is, your stature is, your place in society, it doesn't really matter, all right? Discouragement and disappointment are things that don't discriminate on position, and they don't discriminate on popularity. Nobody is immune to it. And so if you do have, one of the things that the enemy tells us as believers is that if you live with disappointment and somehow you don't have the same amount of faith as somebody else, you're not good enough. Somebody else would deal with it better. And God knows I have gone through that a million times myself. We ask ourselves lots of questions. Is God unfair in the middle of this? Is God silent in the middle of this? What is God doing in the middle of this? Is God hidden in the middle of this? Where is he? And nobody is immune to those questions. All right, can I just everyone take a big deep breath and go, that's all right. Nobody's immune to it. And the question then, and you've probably ask those questions yourself. We all live in this space, don't we? We live in this space between what we expect and what we experience, what we hear and what we live in. There's always this gap. And Gideon had that. And when he was faced with it, his response was, remember, Lord, where are you? Where are all these stories? Right? If you're so good, why am I not seeing this? Why am I not walking into it? And that is completely normal. But I'm going to show you today that grace makes all the difference. Grace will make all the difference. You don't have to rinse and repeat and replay the same scenes in your life from today onwards. You don't have to. God has a better way for you this morning. Amen? That good? Do you want me to keep going or you had enough already? All right, that's good. That's brilliant. You know what I'm going to start and do? I'm just going to bring your coats. I have a feeling that some of you get sleepy because we put the heat on in here. And I'm just going to say, as of next week, the heat is off. Is that all right? Don't say you weren't warned, all right? Sitting there half dozing. For goodness sake, like get them windows open and let's get some air around the place. So how are you going to stop limiting God, right? How are you going to do it? How are you going to stop? There's three kinds of people that I in my Christian journey lots of years, I've noticed. There are people who love to live in it. There are people who wallow in it, actually. There's people who like, you know, the bit, oh, that's terrible. How are you? Well, you know, I'm getting there, brother. You know, I've even caught myself, I'd say it for a laugh. When people ask me, how am I? Or how's it going? I go, I think I'm all right. All right? And people, you think you're all right? I go, well, you never can hedge your bets, you know what I mean? So there's people who actually like it. The people who take comfort from disappointment. They wear it like an old blanket because it's familiar. There are people who deny that there's a problem. You know, sometimes hyperfaith is a wee bit like that. Put on their Sunday faces. And then there's those who go, I don't want to deny it, but I don't know how to fix it. But one thing, if you really ask me honestly, I don't want to limit God in my life. I'd love to be free from it. And so what I would say is, where do you start, right? And what I'd say is, the first thing I want to say to you this morning is recognize that when you're dealing with disappointment, that is about your circumstances and not who you are. Don't personalize, internalize your disappointment. After years and times of discouragement, of going through tough times, many people start to take on their discouragement and wear it as like, this is who I am. Things will never work out for me. I might have my hands in the air, but sometimes we live with this deep down fear that this is just the way that it's going to be. I may hope for it to be different. I may even pray for it to be different, but really push come into shove, there's something in me that goes, this is actually my lot. This is who I am. And we can very easily fall into that mentality. Tough season after tough season can weary us and can leave us feeling exhausted. Sometimes we can feel defeated and ready to give up. And this is why with the Lord, when he steps into Gideon's life, he doesn't start with circumstance, he starts with identity. And he goes repeatedly, God will show you, like he's doing with Gideon, despite heartbreaking circumstances, they are always separate from who you are. They're always separate from what God calls you to be. You will never cease to be who God has created you to be. As I said last week, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that you have today. You're as righteous and holy right now as you're sitting here in this moment, as acceptable to the Lord as you will ever be for all of eternity if you're in Jesus. You, can I say this morning, you're not your trials. Grace is bigger than your trials. And if you've battled in the same area time and time again, we can get to the stage that despite what's going on externally and what we can present to people, see, the battle is not about the external. The battle actually for us is to remain convinced of our righteousness. That's an internal thing. Because when we're convinced of our internal world and what Jesus has done in us, remember I said in your spirit, man, then it flows to the outside. But we can feel like failures and frauds, that it's never going to be any different. And it's a lie. It's an absolute lie. Let me confront it in your life this morning. If there's one thing in your life where you do not have hope, right, that it can be as Jesus described it, even one area in your life where you're not experiencing hope right now, let me tell you, you're under the influence of a lie. Because whenever Jesus and whenever grace confronts your trial, it always results in hope. And so right now, I want to free you from going, if there's something where I kind of go, oh, well, yes, I would love it, but, right, then that shows you the influence of the enemy and not the influence of Jesus and his grace. And so you have to have courage this morning. Let grace bring courage to believe that your best days, as I've been saying, lie in front of you. God's not finished with you. And if I can say to you this morning, I honestly believe that a heart that allows grace to go to the very root, even of our disappointment with God, you know, means that nothing then after that will come between you and the purpose that God has for you. I mean nothing. And we need to remind ourselves of that. So in Gideon's life, he always comes and speaks future, purpose, safety, deliverance, and hope. And so, and one of the things that in doing that, and this is where I want us to talk about being clothed. One of the things when the Lord does that, we would like at that point for the Lord then to almost like beam us up and bring us to victory. Do you know that? Okay, Lord, I've received identity. Now, let me be beamed up and miss all this other stuff. And then just get me to the end result. Just let me know that Lord Grantham doesn't die, okay, in season 6. Just get me there, Lord, and I'm happy. So what happens is you live with the promise of victory. We live with the promise of victory in our lives. We live with the promise of breakthrough and the promise of grace. But we stand here in our experience. And the Lord says, actually, in the growing of the journey and the learning of the journey is where you will see the greatest victory is not in the end. It's walking with Jesus the whole way through it. That's the point. Because if we don't, we live in la-la land where it's always like my ship's going to come in. You know that thing of doing the lottery? If only that would come in, then I would be happy. It's like, get me to the end. And the Lord says, no, I'm going to walk you through the journey. And I'm going to grow you and develop you and show you grace upon grace upon grace in every area, in everything. And then one day, I actually think this is the way the Lord works, is in Gideon's story, we see it compressed, but I think we long for the big outcome. And actually what happens is in the small victories every day being released by grace, then one day we find ourselves almost in a place and we go, how the heck did we get here? Look what he's done. But it's been victory the whole way along. Do you get that? And so not living with disappointment, hoping that the Lord will just miraculously transport us to this nirvana, but actually going today, like what you're going to have to face tomorrow, what I have to face this week, all the things that I have to do, all the challenges that are going to come my way, to go, today is my day of victory. Today I'm going to see the goodness of God. Today I'm going to see the grace of God. Do you know what? I don't have grace for next Sunday. I've got grace for today. That's what the Lord promised. What are you worrying about next week for? What are you worrying about 6 months from now for? You don't have grace for that. You've got grace for today. You're going to see the small. And do you know what? Your big victories are made up of hundreds of little victories along the way. And one of them is the victory over disappointment. Is this okay? Is this making sense? Anyone encouraged so far? Yes. Brilliant. Okay, so Judges, what about you guys online? I hope you're enjoying it. If you are, let us know. Now, let us know. I don't even know what that means. Just type a note and say things. So in Judges 6:34, right, how do you deal with your disappointment? Very quickly, can I say this? If you're living with disappointment today, Stop turning from it and face it again in grace. When you face your disappointment in your, under your own steam, it's very, very, you're never going to win. And actually what the Lord says is, whatever has been pulling at you and being difficult for you, your Achilles heel, if you like, or your big disappointment with the Lord, face it again with me, he says. But let's look at it through the lens of my grace in your life. And you might be like Gideon, because what Gideon would say at this point would be like, if I had had your grace, I wouldn't be in this place. To be honest with you, that's exactly what Gideon was saying. It wasn't like, oh, grace? Well, if there's no grace, I wouldn't be sick. If there was grace, I wouldn't be sick. That's the truth of disappointment. But the Lord says, no, let's look at this again. And he says in Judges 6:34, there's two things. Number one, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon and he sounded the trumpet. Here's how to position yourself to deal with that which is discouraging. It's almost like a before and an after. Before, Gideon is all about himself and about what he can do, his place, what, you know, the stories of God sort of up there but not really making any real difference to his life. And then almost like the after, right? It's not about his ability and all the rest of it, but he finds himself standing there facing the tens of thousands of Midianites with 300 men, right? Surrounding them, looking at them. And it's this guy who in the natural, the Lord takes him away from that natural estimation, puts him into a place to show him that it's absolutely never going to be about his natural ability. He's confronted with this massive challenge that there's no way in God's green earth anyone could do, 300 men against tens of thousands of Midianites, and yet the Lord delivers him. And the difference was, okay, the difference was the Lord clothed him before he sounded the trumpet. I guess what I'm trying to say is you don't live in victory by ducking out of your challenges and your battles. Actually, if we see this turned around, what we'll see is those things which are bothering us and difficult for us are actually the most fertile ground for God to bring victory to us. But what he will do is he will show you that the victory will never be by your hand. It will never be by your strength. But when you are clothed, what does that mean? What are we clothed in? What does the Lord clothe us with under grace? Righteousness. Do you get it? Interesting, that same word Hebrew is the same word that's translated then into the new. He clothes me again in righteousness. He puts righteousness on me as a gift. And he says this. He says that in my righteousness, you're not facing anything in your strength. And in my righteousness is your precursor for victory. And it was the same for Gideon under the law. Isn't it funny? So he clothes him. He says, Gideon, this is not going to be about you. He says, you know, David, it's not going to be about you. It's not going to be about your stuff. It's not going to be about your limitation or your weakness or whatever that might be, or your strength. It's going to be about that thing of going, even though there's things on that my emotion is up and down and I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed that you haven't pulled through. I'm disappointed that I walked through that. I don't understand it. I don't get it. And it doesn't sound very gracious to me. The Lord says, let me, in that moment, go, you're going to face your enemy. You know, it's like Gideon is going to face the Midianites. He's going to face tens of thousands of them. The very thing that has been destroying the country, destroying his hope, destroying his family, eating away at him from the inside with fear, robbing him of relationship with others and robbing him of his relationship with God. The Lord says, actually, you're not going to stand in that, face that in your own strength. You're not going to stand, let me clothe you with righteousness, and let's look at it again. And I'll show you that the difference between you on your own and you in the finished work of grace is one will be great victory. And so actually in disappointment, you know, so there was something in Gideon that went, that he had to shift. There was a shift in his heart. I think it comes down to simple faith. And faith is a result of God's grace and love in your life. You know, I think whenever we have, you know, how do you face things that disappoint you? Well, there's two things, and this is amazing grace, right? There's two things that I have learned in my own life. Every discouragement and every disappointment, no matter how big they are, no matter how much they have hurt me, no matter how much I've had to process them well and not so well, there are, no matter what they are smaller than two things. Number one is the Lord's character. He's loving, he's good, he's faithful, he's gracious and he's kind. He has promised that I will see his goodness in the land of the living, and he'll visit that to all of my generations. And every disappointment and every discouragement is smaller than that truth. The second truth is this, that every discouragement and every disappointment, no matter how much they have brought pain to our lives, they are under and subject to the truth and the promise of God's word. That's the greater truth. He's brought me this far, and he's not going to let me fail. Amen? Have a look at yourself today. He's brought you this far, and he's not going to let you fail. And so I have to process my disappointment. I can't just think that it's going to go away. And so what I have to do is I have to weigh my disappointment and my lack of understanding and my sometimes the difficulty of that to go, if I don't deal with this, I will forever come round this mountain. But the Lord says, face it again in grace and understand that it's, whatever it is, it's smaller than me and smaller than my word. And so where do I go? Let me give you something I was reading this week. You know, in your failure, in your tough seasons, where do I go to see the character and the word of God? Well, let me give you some verses. Shall we read the word and let it wash over you? Isaiah 61:10. So if you're failing or you're in a tough season, I'll greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So even in my toughest times, you know, every morning for me when I take communion, I go, Lord, I thank you that right now I am completely clothed in righteousness. And the thing that the Lord's been bringing back to my head every time is the prodigal. You know, Luke 15, I've been reading through Luke in my own reading. And that thing of going, he's clothed me. He runs, kisses, embraces, you know, clothes me again. And just going, I am wrapped in that. So whatever time, if things are tough, for sure, they're not. His grace is greater still. You know, what about when I face accusation? Some of us know what that's like. Isaiah 54:17 says that no weapon formed against you will prevail. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. If people are accusing you, talking about you, putting stuff against you, I've done it both ways. Let me tell you, when you get angry with people and you have, remember Dexter, for those of you who used to watch it? If you don't, you might want to check out that reference after church, but I had episodes of Dexter running through my head for many years. Not helpful. That's all I'm going to say, right? Actually helpful in some. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes you went, oh, that's so good, but so bad. All right? But what do? You either go into yourself like Gideon, or the Lord says, let's face it through the lens of my character and my promise to you. No weapon formed against you will prevail. And you will, listen to this, you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me. So whenever I am a son, I have a revelation of sonship in my life. And I stand clothed in righteousness on any particular day, right? On a wet Tuesday in November. And the enemy starts to accuse me, to play into my disappointment about how people have treated me. And what they're saying now, and you know all that stuff? Anyone? Okay. What do? You go to the Word, you take communion, you clothe yourself in righteousness once again, and you say, Lord, right now, whatever they're saying, whenever they're saying it, with whoever they're saying it, you are right there, and you will refute every word, and you will be my vindication. So right now, Lord, I'm not going to be disappointed or discouraged. In fact, for me, it has the opposite effect. I go, I am so encouraged right now because you know what? I don't know who they are, what they're saying. Sometimes it's all in my imagination anyway. Other times it's not. But let's be honest, most of the times I'm just making it up like you do. The speculative imagination that we have, that everyone's like, infamy, infamy. They've all got it infamy, to quote the great prophet Kenneth Williams. Remember that from the Carry On films? Infamy, infamy. They've all got it infamy. I didn't. My parents used to watch those and they were just on in the house. I never did watch them. Terrible films, right? Infamy. Remember that? No. I am a Christian. Don't worry. That's right. But what happens then is, well, clothed in righteousness, what happens is my attention turns from me. My attention turns to who he is and then what his word says to me. And I go, isn't it mad? Where you go, I'm actually really encouraged right now. I'm really encouraged that I can't be in a million places at once, but the Lord's there, and because he loves me, because I'm righteous, because I'm acceptable to him, he is defending me. He is sticking up for me. My dad's bigger than your dad, as we would say in Belfast, you know what I mean? And so what do? I get on with my day knowing that he has promised that my vindication is from him. Anyone? That's dealing with your disappointment. Or you can fight it yourself, bring it on yourself, and you'll be knackered and exhausted. What about when people come and go and people let you down? I have no idea what that's like, but I had to try to imagine this week. I wonder what that's like. Let me just, Lord, let me just try to picture that. That was a joke. Okay, so know therefore, just says in Deuteronomy 7, 9, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. Right, so I go, what does that tell me about God and who he is? It means that he's the boss, right? So whatever people may think, whatever people may do, there is one above them all. His name is Jesus. And Jesus loves me. Let's see what's going to say. He's the faithful God who keeps his covenant of steadfast love for with those who love him and keep his commandments. Thank you, Jesus, that you kept the commandments for me to 1,000 generations. And so what that means is everything I really long for, hope, meaning, purpose, healing, provision, you know, a sense of belonging, a sense of all of that kind of stuff, they may come and go, but the one who never comes and goes is faithful to what? 1,000 generations. Yeah. Where's your heart and your attention going to? This is what the Lord's doing with Gideon. Going, Gideon, let me move you from you to being clothed with me. All right? And you know what happens? Our disappointment doesn't stand a chance when it's confronted with the grace of Jesus. Why? Because there is a greater truth. Whatever the hurt, whatever the pain, it was not the Lord behind it. The Lord is your way out of the pain. He's the way out of the disappointment. And what the enemy will be having you look at yourself, look at the people around you, accuse them and accuse God. And in that cycle, we will never dare to believe for anything more. But in the moment, what he says is, let me clothe you. That is a daily thing of just understanding. Before you put your hand at anything in any particular day, take the communion, break the bread, and take the cup, and say, right now, Lord, with everything that's going on in my life, I can't control it. I can't put my hand to it. I certainly can't control people or circumstances, but I know that you're the God above it all, and you are faithful to me for 1,000 generations. So if they're here today and gone tomorrow, it doesn't matter, because you're going to be there, and your promise, your character, your word, your will is so much bigger. Somebody give me an amen for that. All right, what about lack? When I face lack, or I just try my best? Philippians 4, 19, and God will what? Supply every need of yours, it says. Isn't that bonkers? I'm disappointed, God, because I kind of feel like I've never broken through in my money. I would love to see more. And I you know what? I believe, don't be getting all, the Lord giveth and taketh away. All that nonsense. Sorry, it's in the word, but divide the word rightly. Because actually what we see here is like that desire for blessing and prosperity is a God-given desire. It's put in you because it reflects the abundance and the blessing of the heart of God. We don't have a stingy two-bit God, do we? Did Jesus ever come along to people and go, oh, you've got that going on with you? Well, I'll tell you what, I know you can't see, but I'll heal your wee toe. Do you ever think the people that got healed of big stuff had other stuff wrong with them? This is just what goes through my head, right? They probably weren't like finest specimens of, they probably had a few wee things, like a wee bit bald maybe. Or ugly. You know, I'm thinking, are there probably, if you had, let's pray for all the baldies. Yeah, man. It's a joke. It's probably offended. People don't. I have a wee baldy spot on top. Don't worry about it. All right. How funny would that be if, like, Colin came in with a full afro next week? Wouldn't that, honestly, I would just be loving that. Mark Donnelly came in with dreadlocks. Just in that moment, Pastor, when you prayed for the release of hair, I couldn't believe it. Just felt it sprouting up. I couldn't keep it down all week. I've had my hair cut every morning. But when you face lack, God supply every need according to his riches. That's my promise based on the character of God and the word of God. So I have to deal with my disappointment one way. I either let it sit in my heart and rob me of the ability to believe, or I bring it to a greater truth, which is grace. And I look again through the lens of grace. I've got about 5 minutes here. And this is amazing grace. Don't try and run away from it, or don't try to pretend. Because what will happen is we get into a holding pattern, a cycle in our lives of the same thing continually coming back around. We will just keep, you know, that's just the way that it works. Until we find our freedom from it, we'll just have to keep facing it. And so I want to encourage you this morning that in dealing with our disappointment with God, we don't bury it down. We look at that situation again through grace. And we allow the Lord to go, now where in that process are you? Is it too much about you? Because, I'm already, you know, we get to the end of the story, like I said, Gideon kills it. 300, he doesn't even have to, all they do is they raise a shout, lift up some candles, and the Midianites go buck daft and kill each other. Like, what a great, I mean, that's a Belfast paraphrase of a fairly big story in the Bible, right? But essentially, that's kind of what happens, isn't it? And then they're all, you know, it's like, you're thinking, that's bonkers. That is, how does that happen? And the Lord goes, well, when you're clothed in righteousness, the work of grace, right? And it's not about you. You can dare to believe for some incredible stuff. And more importantly, I'm going to back it up with my word. My word. The second thing very quickly is he blows a trumpet. And now why does he do that? Okay, so picture the scene. The Midianites are all in the camp. Gideon has managed to wheedle through all the men. All the ones who didn't want to fight. Remember the thing, if they drink like a dog or if they take the water with their hands, you'll separate them that way. If you don't know the story, it's a really good one. And so he's basically left with a handful versus what he had. And so the Lord says to him, let me clothe you and then let me blow the trumpet. And so there's a couple of things I want to say here, which is really important. Trumpets in the Bible are real. They're just loaded with imagery and loaded with stuff, right? But there's two things that they're used for, particularly in battle, right? And this was a battle situation. So what happens is some of us get to the battle before we are standing clothed. And then we wonder why we get beaten back. Because truly, if it's not your battle, but it's the Lord's, then there's nothing natural in you that will be equipped to fight the battles that you're facing. Does that make sense? So be clothed first before you get to... you know, in my journey, and I'm not knocking anything here, but I've understood more in my journey as I've gone on why at times things didn't work, okay? Or why it was difficult. Because it was a lot of process, a lot of truth, but essentially it was what I was doing, okay? Now that you've heard this, what are you doing with it? Do you understand what I mean? So you'd hear like a truth around whatever, healing as an example, right? And it's like, well, now you do this, and now you do that, and now you do the other, right? And it's almost like if we didn't get them all in the right order, then that, you know. And what I've kind of understood here is that there is a simple order to things, actually. The simple order is Jesus first and then you. Grace first and then you. Everything other than that is just overly complicating and making it quite human. What does Jesus say about this? What does the Lord, what does grace say about this? I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to face it through the lens of grace. And then I'm going to rest and trust that as I lift the trumpet, what does that mean? I'll show you now, that he's going to go to battle. So the trumpet is this. Number one, it gathered people of common purpose around the same thing. And so I'm going to say this. Be really careful. And this is not to go proper like David Koresh crazy, right? I'm not suggesting that we all like live in a hippie commune. That's not what I'm saying. Because remember, when grace touches other things, grace is more powerful still. So I'm not like this, oh, wrap yourself up from the world and from bad people and legalistic people. No, don't do that. Don't be silly. But what I'm saying is be careful who you let speak in. Be careful what you let in. We were talking last night. We were out for a lovely meal. It was brilliant. In Newton Ards, you know. I was going to make a joke this morning and go, look, I was in Newton Ards and I grew an extra finger. Just 2 hours. 2 hours over the hill and look what happened. You should see my feet. They've got webbed feet and everything. I'm just joking. But the thing is, I'm only joking, Ivan. But the thing is, you do, but we loved it because there's something about people have the same heart, mind, and vision and the same view of God. It's actually really important. It's not about exclusivity in any way, but be careful who you let speak in. Because trumpets are about gathering. That's the first thing about a trumpet. It gathered people. See, what happened was there were thousands, 10,000, right, of men who came with Gideon. And the Lord actually, in sifting them out, got it to the core of people who were of the same heart and mind. I think that was really important. Do you know why? Because whenever you're fighting or wherever you're facing your battles, the last thing you need to be doing is fighting the people beside you. So you see it with Moses, lift up my hands, lift up my arms, when the battle's going on, right? And so this is about be careful. I know for me, I just have a guard sometimes on what I let in, what I listen to, because particularly people who've been discouraged by religion, people who are down on the church, people who go, be careful of grace. There's a little bit of grace, but, you know, just be careful, right? I just think it's not like you go, you're dead to me. I'm not saying that in any way, but I'm saying be careful what you let into your heart. Don't allow other people's discouragement to feed your disappointment too. You get me? Don't. Because what happens is one of the things with offense in the church is most of the offense that I've had to deal with was nothing to do with what I had done to any particular person. But borrowed offense, gee, it runs rampant. It just runs rampant. Can we just be honest? And you have people who are disappointed with church, with me as a pastor and with God, but nothing to do with what I've done to them or what God's done to them because somebody else was bent out of shape. To be honest, that's the way it works. And so it's bonkers when you think about it. I'm really annoyed with him. Why? Because he did this. And it's not even, it's not, do you understand? And all of a sudden, what we've done is we have joined in agreements in our spirits to disappointment, and it becomes ours. And then we can't believe God for anything because now it's not even our stuff, it's somebody else's stuff. I mean, this is the crazy. That's why we go, Lord. That's why I love grace. You know, people who are full of guilt, people who are powerless against stuff in their own lives. And so what people will do, and I'm not being cynical, but what they'll do is they'll go, because I haven't seen breakthrough, there's something in them that can't believe that they'd be happy for you to see breakthrough. So it's easier to bring people down. It's all brokenness. It's just different manifestations of brokenness. And that's why we need to be, that's why I go, don't be exclusive, but bring grace into it. Bring a different spirit into it. And the last thing is this. The raising of the trumpet is a declaration of the word of God and the character of God over the situation. Sound the trumpet, revelation, the seven trumpets, all this kind of stuff. The imagery is absolutely brilliant. But this is why I love to talk about the incredible, incredible grace of God. Because when in Judges 7:22, the last verse I want to say today is, when the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. I love this, right? Gideon did not need to fight. He was clothed with the righteousness of God. Okay, it was wrapped around him. He's facing his greatest enemy, the source of his disappointment and discouraged. In the natural, he's standing there. He's completely outgunned. He is completely going to be overwhelmed. And what happens is, gathered with the people of the same spirit, with the same view of God and his word, all he does is he stands and allows grace to work. All right? And the people beside, notice people beside didn't break rank. They didn't go, let's lift the thing off and all the lights come up. The Midianites look up and go, flip me, there's billions of them. We're dead. We're doomed. Doomed. Captain Mannering, doomed. And so that's, as they do this, right, and they lift this stuff up, notice nobody broke rank. Nobody went, Gideon's mental. We're all doomed. What's he doing? Ah, let me get my sword and I'll go and run after them. They only had to stand there and watch the Lord work. That's proper rest, isn't it? Is that what we see the whole way through the word? My last verse for today, 2 Chronicles 20. Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed because of this great multitude. Let me put it into our language. Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed because of all of this stuff that you're facing. The battle's not yours. The battle is God's. Verse 15, you will not need to fight this battle. Position yourself in righteousness. Stand still. Don't break rank. And see the salvation of God. Amen? That's my word for you today. Deal with your disappointment. I honestly believe, in fact, let's stand up and we're going to just going to start to online. People, get ready for, hope you're encouraged online as well. Give us some pads of glory there, bro, and let's get ready for communion. And what we're going to do is we're going to learn to stand. And let's see. Mark, would you lift that for me? So let's get ready with our communion. Are you encouraged this morning?
Yes.
Yeah? Whatever it is been hanging around you, right? Just say this morning, Lord, I will not allow disappointment to be one of the roots of my fear for the future, my inability to believe you. I don't want to do that, Lord. And I speak grace over every one of you right now. Close your eyes and just let me speak grace over you. Because I know even in saying some of this morning, I'm not silly, because it happens to me, you actually feel it. To go, don't touch that, Andrew. You've no idea. Or listen to your man. It's all right for him. What does he know? I know. I've tried. I've done. The Lord wants to lift all of that off you, actually. And cause you to stand here this morning clothed in nothing else other than this work. To empty yourself of effort, to empty yourself of trying, and to say, Lord, you know what? Truthfully, I have been disappointed with you. And whilst I want to believe, I can't, because, like Gideon said, where were you? Or where are you? And the Lord says one more time to you today, look at me. Look at who I am. Look at my promise for you. I'm faithful to 1,000 generations. And you will see a victory. You will see a breakthrough. You will see your healing. You will see your provision. You will see the goodness of God in these days, he says. But it won't be because of you. It won't be because of what you're trying to bring me. Just let me be God. And you rest in that place of safety. Amen. So, Father, we take this bread in our hands, this wafer, Lord, and we say, thank you for your body broken. Thank you, Jesus, that because of your body broken, our declaration is we are healed. Amen. I speak over every body right now, every organ, every system, every bone, every muscle, every head, from the tips of your toes to the very crown of your head and everywhere in between. I speak wholeness, health, restoration in Jesus' name. Amen. Every condition brought to the cross and taken from you through the work of grace. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we take this cup this morning. Father, this is the cup of your covenant of grace. One single tiny drop of your blood, Lord, is enough for all men, all women, everybody, for all of eternity. Lord, so we drink this morning. And we say, Father, thank you for clothing us in righteousness. We take this cup. We receive it today. We thank you, Lord, that our truth and our declaration is we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Perfected forever. Loved forever. Your faithfulness and your grace to 1,000 generations is your promise, Lord. And so we say here, yes and amen, and we drink. I want to encourage you. Isn't that good? Amen. Father, just thank you for like, your work. Lord, we're going to sing this song just to finish, but online, folks, we really encourage you in your giving, and in here, we do our offering at the back. There's envelopes, and you can, you know, in a world that's racked with fear about provision, be generous. The opposite spirit is generosity. So give your generosity. Give generously this morning. Online, you'll be able to see ways to give. And we thank you for your giving. And it fundamentally changes, I believe, when you give and when you're generous, how you're able to receive. So don't be let yesterday's disappointment rob you of tomorrow's blessing in the area of your money, okay? See you again. He will supply all your needs according to his riches. That's his promise. So thank you for your giving. It's your act of worship. And shall we just lift this song? Is that good? And I just pray that as we sing this song to finish, that where your heart is tender, where your heart is hurt, that even in this moment and as you go from here, you wouldn't push that down again, but you just let the Lord minister into it. Okay, just let the light of grace into it just a little. And he'll heal you where you hurt. He'll heal you where it's sore. And he'll say, through my grace, I'm going to restore you. Okay, like what I've done in righteousness on the inside, you're going to see that restored in every area of your life. Amen.